You got to make them down. Cruising. Good morning, Reading. Gosh, this is Positively Healthy, and you're listening to my show. I guess I should say my name, huh? This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to my show, Positively Healthy. Getting a rainy day start here. Hey, Jim.
Yes?
What's the weather? What can we expect?
Cold, wet, windy, snow in the mountains. If you look at the Caltrans video or cameras this morning, there's snow all over the place in the mountains. And nasty weather, especially in the mountains. Been several accidents. Went up on I-5 around Vollmer. It's probably weather-related, so... good day to stay inside and listen to the radio.
How long are we going to be doing this?
Actually, through the weekend, I think, and even into Monday, and some cold temperatures coming up, too. After this, we're going to be below freezing, you know, after the storm blows through. And we're kind of in the middle. The second storm's coming our way now, and high winds, 40 to 50 miles an hour.
Just woohoo!
Nasty out there.
My horse stays in the barn, definitely.
Put the blanket on the old horse.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, you know, I want to thank Dr. Craig Crawford, who hosted my show last week. Lots of information about skin, and hope that was helpful. Today we're going to talk about natural sweeteners later in the show, and our guest today for part of the show is Dr. Doug Craig, Reading psychologist for 22 years, and I want to talk about sweeteners, and so I want to talk about two sweeteners that are in a lot of our foods and soda pop that are very addictive, and that's making a change out of a habit is part of our topic today. And so we're combining sweeteners. We have a natural spot on our tongue for sweet. It's part of us. It's part of our instinct. We like sweets. And then it kind of goes beyond that once we start eating chemicals as a sweetener. So I want to teach you later in the show about sweeteners that are historically, you know, part of our diet, something called sucanat, which is just the juice of the sugar cane. We have raw honey, you know, that's pretty darn natural. Maple syrup from the tree, the kind without formaldehyde. We have an herb from South America called stevia.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
I know that one.
You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Doesn't change your blood sugar at all. Even those malted grain syrups are pretty darn good. You know, we've used those for over 1,000 years. So they're part of our history, and we have a history of being very healthy eating those. And you know, within the last 30 years, we have two sweeteners that have come on the scene that, in my opinion, have really kind of wrecked our health. And one is aspartame. It's in diet soda, but it's in a lot of different things. It's in gum. It's in maybe a cough syrup you might give your kids. It's all over the place. You have to look for it. And as we have started to consume and maybe overconsume aspartame, known as NutraSweet, this very addictive sweetener has a long list of symptoms that, you know, we have an aspartame consumer safety network, and so aspartame is the most reported problem-creating substance for the FDA, and so the number one problem people report are headaches, and these are not just a light little headache, these are severe headaches, extreme nausea, vertigo, insomnia, numbness, blurred vision, blindness, that's kind of a big one, memory loss, slurred speech, depression, personality changes, hyperactivity, stomach disorders, we're about halfway through here, seizures, skin lesions, rashes, anxiety attacks, muscle cramping and joint pain, loss of energy, symptoms that mimic a heart attack, hearing loss and ringing in your ears, and a loss or a change in your taste. And so, you know, that's there are probably, I don't know, maybe that was about 20 or so symptoms that if you have any of those symptoms, I would just take a little peek at your consumption of the sweetener aspartame, which we think of more as NutraSweet, and look and take a little inventory of your foods. And so, you know, just to think that you're not sleeping or maybe that you're having memory loss, these are all symptoms that often end up over, you know, you're taking a medication for something and really it's created by something you're consuming. And so we're going to take a quick break and we're going to go over the next sweetener. So this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. I'll be right back. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. And boy, I'm rambling on about this long list of symptoms that are the possible, you know, that could be a symptom for you. These are the symptoms of too much aspartame or NutraSweet or even just a tiny bit. You could be sensitive to these things. And so the next thing I want to go over is high fructose corn syrup. And high fructose corn syrup, you know, it's in a lot of prepared foods, and it is the sweetener in soft drinks that are not diet. And so, you know, which means that this might freak you out, because it freaked me out. It's the number one source of calories in the United States. So of your consumed calories, this is, you know, mostly from soft drinks. This is going to be where we're getting our calories. And so we're going to take a quick call here. Do we have Kay on line one? Mm-hmm. Hi, Kay. Good morning.
Hi, Trudy. I'm glad you're still talking about sugar alternatives.
I can't stop, Kay. I'm sorry. No, I'm just warming up.
Well, you know, when I looked it up in this Natural Health Bible,
yeah,
the xylitol, it says a natural sugar found in plums, strawberries, and raspberries. But it doesn't say anything about birch bark.
Okay.
But this morning I put in the computer artificial sweeteners made from birch bark.
Yeah.
And it came up.
Okay.
You know, so you're right. I mean, I shouldn't question you, I guess.
You can please question me. You know, you were asking me, because xylitol isn't one of my favorite sweeteners, and it is sort of semi-natural once in its life. And we just don't have a history, you know. We have to always respect the fact that our digestive tracts are very old and they have just a certain amount of data in their hard drive, and we adapt very slowly. And so the body just gets confused by things that it can't recognize as something it's consumed. And
well,
so, yeah.
And if it's, you know, coming from plums and strawberries and raspberries, that sounds to me really natural. I mean, you know, really compatible to our bodies. But when it comes from a tree bark, that's a different story.
Well, they all are very, very refined to get to a white, powdery end product. So you just kind of have to remember that refining product,
right.
You know, process. I mean, I would, you know, if
well,
you can
you know,
somehow...
You think of bark and you think of resins and things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't think of things that are from bark that are really that compatible. I mean, the juices, like from maple, you know, the
maple
sap,
syrup, yeah.
The sap is a little different.
Right, right. So we have plenty of sweeteners that are compatible to our systems.
Right.
And so, yeah, I would just, you know, I just wouldn't get hooked on xylitol, a little here and a little there. I would think of as being no big deal. But mm-hmm. I certainly... You know, we Americans, we like to take everything and go completely overboard. It's just who we are. And so I know how we are once we start on something. We just go gung-ho. So I would just start out saying, be a moderate with it. Is that,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all things in moderation.
Yeah. Well, thanks
well,
for calling.
Like
yeah.
with the grains, a lot of that, like the maltose, you know, has problems with diarrhea and constipation.
Yeah, you got to find things that work for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a kind of... Life is case by case, isn't it? So
person by person.
That's right. So
okay.
Thanks
have a good
for
day.
Calling. Okay.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to talk about this high fructose corn syrup, and then we're going to realize how addictive these substances are, and then we're going to bring in our expert, Dr. Doug Craig. But I want to talk about high fructose corn syrup here, because this is the sweetener of a lot of prepared foods. It is the sweetener of soft drinks, and it raises triglycerides, which, you know, triglycerides, that is really how thick your blood is. And so if you have thick blood, if you're pumping through your heart and your body, you know, blood that's as thick as a milkshake, your triglycerides are way too high. So, you know, it makes sense that we need to get those triglyceride readings down. One way of doing that would be to cut out soft drinks if you can. Also, high fructose corn syrup contributes to the cholesterol we don't want. So we get a lot of plaquing. We get a lot of, you know, the body starts to deposit, you know, this stuff. It doesn't know what to do with it. It starts to deposit at places it shouldn't be. Now, what's more frustrating to me, other than the last two, which are deadly, is that we have these rapid, rapid rises in obesity, and high fructose corn syrup does this thing where it absorbs so quickly into your bloodstream that it just, you know, the body has no chance to do a slow absorption and a filtering of high fructose corn syrup. And we have diabetes out of control. You know, it's expected that we'll be at 1 in 3 here pretty soon. We'll have diabetes. And so, you know what happens when your blood sugar goes up? Those insulin levels, everything bad just starts happening to you. It leads to everything that's awful. That means cancer, heart disease, rapid aging, osteoporosis, arthritis. You know all of those. Okay, so if we can do two things, if we can look, just take our own little inventory of our consumption of high fructose corn syrup and our consumption of aspartame, and ask ourselves, well, what would we substitute these products with? What would happen if you were to just stop buying those for your family right now? And so I want to bring in our expert here, Dr. Craig. Welcome.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Trudy.
Sure. Well, hey, you know, when we talk about changing a habit, you know, these are usually habits we've started ourselves. They sounded like a good idea at the time. And then somewhere we either get a little information that maybe we want to make a shift, or maybe we learn information that I just mentioned right here on the air, and somebody's thinking, well, you know, I have nausea or headaches, or maybe I'm hyperactive, or I have seizures or skin lesions. Maybe I should rethink some of these funny sweeteners. How do people go about making a shift? How do they do that?
Well, I think usually I think of motivation, and I think there's two forces behind motivation. One is greed and one is fear. I mean, that's what we always hear about with the stock market. And so I think the greedy part would be yum, you know,
okay.
Chocolate, you
yeah.
know, that's good. And don't, because it tastes good, it feels good. Until someone like you comes along, you know, we're not right predisposed to think something that tastes this good can't
totally
be bad.
Totally socially acceptable.
And yeah, and
yeah.
It's encouraged, especially
yeah.
this time of year for the next 6 weeks or so. I think,
yeah.
You know, we're going to see it everywhere we go. So, so to make that shift, though, you'd have to really accept that it is bad. Somehow what feels so good is bad, and that's hard for the brain to comprehend, because you have these competing impulses, and what you really want to do is rationalize why this thing is going to be okay, and maybe, you know, after the holidays I'll diet or something like that,
or that something could be better, like to hold in your mind that maybe feeling better could be better than the temporary enjoyment of a soda, or
yeah, that's how we're successful.
Okay,
you know, if you think about someone that is able to not drink alcohol or abuse drugs or go nuts with aspartame products. Yeah, we have to come up with another reason to compete with that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, there's going to be more of this right after this break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Don't go away.
You can save your business.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM here, home of Free Fire Media. In the studio, we have Dr. Doug Craig, writing psychologist of 22 years, and we're talking about breaking habits, getting new habits or positive habits. And so, Dr. Craig, just the dynamics of the human being, what are our chances of this? How are we going to, what are our chances of succeeding?
Well, I think the assumption is, on a logical level, that we would always do what's right for ourselves, right? So the idea is that we wouldn't do what's wrong. We don't stick our hand in a fireplace. You know, we don't walk out in traffic. You know, we have a logical brain that knows what's good for us. But,
okay.
But you know, and your whole show in large part is based on this idea that as much as we know about health and what's healthy for us, why do we choose to be unhealthy? And I think the reason is that there is things that are immediately gratifying that don't sustain us psychologically, physically, you know, mentally, whatever. And when it comes to the sugars that you're talking about, I think there is a very core part of our brain that gets addicted to that instant gratification and pleasure, and fails to see the long-term implications of that. In the moment, because in the moment it feels good, and it kind of gets a hold of you almost neurologically. There's a neurological process that until you grasp what's going on in your brain, you can feel controlled by it and don't see a way out of that locked room, so to speak.
So let's say someone is having 15 diet sodas a day. What would kind of making a shift there look like for them? Like, what would you recommend they do?
Well, a concept I try to share with my clients, and it's not always around sugar, it's sometimes around alcohol or drugs,
sure,
is to realize that we have two brains. And this comes from Jack Trimpe's work and his program called Rational Recovery. And so you can Google that or addictive voice recognition technique. But I think it's applicable to the sugar addictions that many of us have. And the idea behind that is to recognize that within us are, let's say, two people, the little kid in the candy store and the parent of that child. And you have two different motivators there. The little child, of course, is all about appetite and gratification.
And you're saying these are within us.
These are within us, right? That the urge is within us. You know, when we're at a Christmas party and there's all kinds of goodies there, there's a part of us that's having a conversation, but we can't wait to get over to the goodie table and start munching, right?
Okay.
So the so-called child within us is all about appetite and satisfying those desires, whereas we also have a parent within us. If we have children, we are motivated, and a lot of parents proudly say, we don't have candy in our home, and we never eat at McDonald's. And so that parent is using their knowledge to say, you know, I'm going to raise my child in a healthy way. And so to realize we have both of those within us is the beginning of doing just what you said, to conquering that addiction to the 15 sodas a day.
Yeah, okay. So knowing that there's going to be the child in us that wants everything right then, here, now, immediate gratification, and then this parent in us that's saying, hey, you know, we have information now. I've learned something today that could be helpful to my future, helpful to the fact that maybe I do want to see my grandchildren raised, or I just want to be around longer with a higher quality of life. How do you help them start? Like, what do they do? Do you say, let's have you have 14 tomorrow? And, I mean, are they building up their parent voice by slowly making a shift, or would you suggest they make a very fast shift?
Well, I can tell you a story that might help explain it, and I'll use alcohol because it's a story I'm used to telling, but you can apply it to sugar, which is the idea that, let's say someone was an alcoholic, but they had successfully not consumed alcohol for many years, but one day they're driving down the street and they see a 7-Eleven. We could argue that beast brain, or that primitive part of their brain, that brain that craves alcohol, would still be trying to seduce the self or seduce the brain into consuming alcohol.
Mm-hmm. And
so it might say, hey, you know, there's a 7-Eleven, you need a pack of gum. And
yeah.
So you find yourself in there getting a pack of gum, and then you think, oh, I'm thirsty, and you look over and see the Coke and go over there to get a Coke. And then next to it you see the Budweiser, and even though you don't drink and haven't drank alcohol for many years, you think, well, what if a friend comes by? You know, I should have some beer on hand for them. And so then you find yourself purchasing beer for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And now it's sitting in your fridge for many weeks, and you're, of course, resisting because you don't drink anymore. But one day you're out cutting the grass and you're hot, and then that little beast brain says, you know, boy, that sure would taste good. And then the lies begin that you can have one and it's all right, and that kind of thing. So AVRT is the addictive voice recognition technique. So when it applies to sugar, you know, we want to realize that little thing in us whispering, you know, eat more sugar, eat more cookies, candy, whatever. We can identify with it. If we think that's me saying that, thinking that, then we're lost. You know, we're just like, it controls us. But on the other hand, if we say, you know, that's not me, you know, that isn't what I want, you know, I in quotation marks, who am I? Am I the child, or am I the adult that wants what you said? You know, am I the adult that wants to live a long, healthy life? Or am I the child that could care less about the future, just wants a a lifetime of intoxicated sugar highs, you know, that doesn't care what the consequence is. And so if you identify with the parent, then when that voice says, ooh, sugar, you know, the adult steps in and immediately kind of says, yeah, but I don't think I have to do that. I think I can still have a good time at this party,
yeah,
and not eat all those cookies.
So you look at the fact that you'd like to be over by the goody tray, and then you kind of wait for the adult to come in and say, yes, but, you know, why don't you just stick around right here and enjoy these nice people you're talking to? I mean, you're going to kind of build up that rational...
Well, it's like, are we identifying with the person losing, or are we identifying with the person gaining?
I hope we're identifying with the person gaining.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So if I look at you as, oh, there's Trudy, they're the healthy person, you know, how boring, you know, she's trying to make me give up my sugar, then I'm like that teenager that wants to rebel. On the other hand, if I take this information that you're giving me and I recognize that, hey, I choose to be that parent. If I have a child, you know, I want them to be healthy. And so I think I'm gaining health. I'm not losing sugar. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy, KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
What do you look
to Positively Healthy? And, you know, sometimes we have breaking news. This is about the weather.
Well, yeah, we have reported there's a big rig or two up on Interstate 5 up around Balmers, and apparently a big accident up there. And last report we have, in fact, this is from the Record Searchlight, so we'll give Mark Beecham a little plug here, but northbound I-5 closed north of Fondale because of that accident. And there's a lot of snow out there in the mountains. If you look at the Caltrans cameras this morning, all the passes have snow on the road, and some of it's sticking, and so just another reminder, if you're headed out,
yeah,
watch out for that. And it's going to get windy. There's a wind advisory on for this afternoon through tonight, 30, 40-mile-an-hour winds here in the valley and higher elsewhere. So batten down the hatches.
Definitely. Not a day to go get your Christmas tree.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh. Unless you like adventure.
Safety first.
Yeah, not that much.
Hey, I want to get back to our guest, Dr. Doug Craig, and we're talking about taking the high road and being the parent and being the inner voice that is more rational, that has, you know, and probably I'd even say what I'm learning from you right now is it's totally normal to have like a response of wanting to go do all of the sort of obsessive compulsive, have 15 diet sodas today, have those thoughts, but then it's the part of us that if we're waiting for that, the more we kind of support that inner adult in us that's a little more thinking of the big picture, that's going to kick in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I think if we all know people that once smoked cigarettes and quit, or maybe had an alcohol problem and gave that up, or, you know, or more serious drug problems, or, you know, or as you're discussing today, maybe they had an obesity problem and they really got a handle on it and changed their diet. And so we know it's possible to be successful. And all I'm saying is psychologically,
yeah,
it's a lot harder. It's a lot easier to do that, to break a car if you're not also have your foot on the accelerator.
Ah, okay.
And so if a person is fighting with themselves over this issue, it's a lot more difficult if they've got the child and the parent arguing.
Okay.
On the other hand, if we focus more on all the benefits of not smoking and the benefits of not drinking or not consuming tons of sugar, you know, it's easier.
Okay. Now, it seems to me, I mean, that's making sense. Now, as a society, I mean, we seem to be self-medicating with food. I mean, what do we need? What are we trying to satisfy? Why are we so in need of just, I don't know, overdoing everything? It seems like whatever we get into, we're never the moderates. We always have to just go completely off the deep end. What is that?
Well, I'll tell you, excuse me, the reason, probably the core reason why I have had a long, successful career as a psychologist is because people desperately want to avoid their current experience.
Ah. Okay.
And there's lots of ways to avoid your current experience. If you have anxiety, you know, you might drink alcohol, or if you have depression, you might, you know, eat sugar. I don't know. You know, there's lots of things we do, or maybe we have an unhappy marriage, and so we find some instant gratification way to enjoy. And I think food in our culture, wow, that's a huge instant gratification. You know, people love to go shopping and cooking and eating, and people, when they're bored, sometimes will eat. So avoiding one's current experience is part of the problem. And then, of course, we have a culture, an economic culture, I guess, that is there to provide that. And so earlier you talked about, what was it, saturated, the corn?
Oh,
high fructose corn syrup, right?
Yeah.
So if you've seen the movie Food, Inc., and I know you have, you know, we understand how that was created, right, in a laboratory, and it's not natural, and yet it is there, and like you say, it's unnatural and it's harmful, and the body doesn't know what to do with it, and so people, there's something addictive about a Big Mac, I guess, and about all the fast food out there that once you eat a bunch, you can't stop, right? And so I think people are unhappy. I don't think there's a lot of evidence that even though we're a very rich country, we're not a very happy country. We're addicted to a lot of things, and we're pretty miserable and confused about it. But this is part of the answer. The topic of today's show is part of the answer.
What do we do with that sucking hole, you know, of just like the unhappiness? What is it different for everybody? Are people mostly unhappy and unsatisfied over the same exact things? I mean, you can't buy enough stuff to fill in that little empty spot in your heart. I mean, there's not enough food to put in there. There's not enough. What are people looking for? Are they looking for self-acceptance? Is it self-esteem? Is it not enough true time relating to other humans? I mean, we are sort of pack animals in our own way. Are we so isolated that we're trying to eat our way into a community? I mean, I don't really know.
Well, I think I try to simplify it to trite things for my clients, trite, basic, simple ideas that they can take with them. And sometimes I write those down. I often write down three words for them, and that's okay.
Mm.
And the idea with that is that if we realize most of us all live in our little own universe in our head, and we're doing the opposite of that. We're saying to ourselves, I ate too much ice cream yesterday, and that's terrible.
Oh.
And I'm terrible.
Okay.
You know, I really want to lose 20 pounds, and I can't. Therefore, I'm stupid, or I'm lazy, or I lack willpower. And so there's this constant negative critic within us. And I tell people, if they're going to consciously change that, they have to be aware of that critical voice. And
so that self-talk could be a place to start. Then.
Well, what you just said, self-acceptance.
Okay.
You know, you're either accepting what you can't change, or you're changing what you can't accept. And for a lot of people, this profound sense of rejection, self-rejection, is a kind of a core problem. They're trying to avoid their experience. They're rejecting themselves. And so it's as if they've, you know, kind of tied their ankles together and they're trying to run a race. You know, we are our worst enemy, you know, because of the way we think of ourselves. And again, I have a very successful practice because human beings sadly love to hate themselves. And punish themselves. And until we can help people to quit doing that, you know, you'll be busy and I'll be busy, and you know, sadly, and
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take a radio break. You're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we'll be right back with more. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR. We're talking to Dr. Doug Craig, writing psychologist, and we're talking about food and trying to break habits and trying to figure out, you know, we're learning from Dr. Craig that there's just a certain part of us where we like to beat ourselves up a little bit. And when we're making a shift, there is a sense that if we can come to a place where we realize that we're okay, right? I mean, is
exactly.
That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, not that I want to go too deep into it, but there's an idea from mindfulness, which is a form of meditation that is sits back and is just kind of aware of everything. You know, we think of ourselves as a thinking person or a thinking machine or something, but I think there's a deeper self beyond the thoughts. And so if you've ever tried to meditate, you know that your brain will not shut up. It just constantly goes and goes and goes. And we choose which thoughts we buy. And I think sometimes we do choose the victim role. We choose to think, I'm not responsible, I blame someone else. And that gets us off the hook then. And then we can begin to do whatever we want because we feel like we're helpless or it's someone else's fault. But my point, and I think the message of a show like this called Positively Healthy, is that we are able at some point to let go of the past because we can't control or change the past and any regrets we have about that or any failures we've had in the past and kind of let go of the future in the sense that we're not going to live in fear of what could be. A lot of people live with the what ifs, what if this, what if that. Let go of other people, you know, what other people choose to do or what McDonald's does or what the commercials are wanting me to do. And then kind of take hold of my own personal strength and power and responsibility to make some good choices today. And that's where, like the AA movement often talks about one day at a time, where you think, okay, all I have is myself at this moment, my thoughts and my feelings and my behavior, and I choose, you know, whether I'm healthy or not, or whether the next thing I put in my mouth is good for me or not, or whether the next thought I think is healthy. And I think that's where you started with, which is how do we make that profound shift? You know, how do we wake up? You know, I love the Matrix movies because there's a lot of symbolism there about choosing the red pill to choose to wake up and be conscious and then take responsibility for yourself in this world. Or do you, you know, as some believe, you know, do you just sit back and blame the world and then, you know, the devil made me do it or McDonald's made me do it? So yeah, taking personal responsibility for one's health can begin today. Even if yesterday you ate a quart of ice cream,
that's right.
You can let go of that now and say, you know, today I can begin that shift. And it doesn't have to be hard. You know, people climb Mount Shasta. That's a big mountain.
Yeah.
And we're little. We're little people, but we can get to the top of the mountain because we just slowly, step by step, get there.
Oh, I love it. Well, I feel inspired. Gosh. Hey, we're going to take a quick radio break here, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And I want to thank Dr. Doug Craig for coming on, and I feel inspired. You know, we are okay. And so, you know, part of the point of the show today is we're talking about sweeteners, and we started out at the beginning talking about natural sweeteners, that I was going to teach you about a few different sweeteners, sucanat, honey, maple syrup, some stevia. We'll probably just go over those four today. And then we taught you about some of the symptoms of aspartame, which is the chemical name of NutraSweet, and it has other names too, but that's the sweetener in diet soda. And then we talked about high fructose corn syrup, and I don't even think of the two, you know, between aspartame and high fructose corn syrup, I think of these as just, you know, a chemical soup. You know, this isn't sweetener to me. This is just, you know, your brain is on drugs. They just happen to be sweet, so they're used. And so so when we're looking at, you know, we're coming into Thanksgiving 2010 here, and there are things that you can do. You can change some of these recipes that you're planning to make right now, and you can use some of the sweeteners that I'm going to go over right now. And I want to start with one. If you haven't heard of it, it's called sucanat, and, you know, it's this sort of brown, dull powder, a lot of little granules, and really it's a dried juice. It's the dried juice of the sugar cane. And any of your Thanksgiving recipes that you have, whether it is a pumpkin pie, you can just take this sweetener and substitute it for your white sugar. It's very easy. It's, you know, it's harder to substitute a liquid, of course, because then you've got, now the thing's too runny, and now you have to add something else dry, and it takes a little monkeying around. So I would start with something called Sucanat, and it's Sucanat. I get mine over at Orchard Nutrition. It's in the bins. You can buy it in bulk. It's got a lot of nutrients in it, too. And so it's a little bit less sweet than sugar, but it's a little bit more, I don't know, caramely maybe. There's something about it that it's much more dynamic than boring, white, raw, bleached, toxic sugar. And so my next sweetener that I'd like to promote, I have some raw honey here in the studio too, and I got that locally down on Deschutes Road at the Wooten's Aviary, and you can get this big 5-pound tub. I've got this big 5-pound tub here. Let me try to lift it, and I'm going to give you their phone number. It's 549-3555, and you can call ahead and just go pick up this big heavy tub. 5 pounds, it's $15, and so, or you can go to ShastaCountyHoney.com. That's what looks like their website. And honey is good if you're going to sweeten something that isn't heated, like maybe you have a hot morning beverage and you want to put just a little bit of something hot in there, but you're not going to really cook it. The only kind of health warning you have on honey is I'm promoting raw honey because all the enzymes are alive and vital and nourishing, and the health benefits of honey go on and on and on and on and on. And you can just go to any benefits of honey search on the internet, and it'll go on for a day why honey is good for you. However, infants under 2 years of age, anybody under two, they haven't developed the enzymes yet to break honey down, so don't give it to your super young ones. But there are plenty of recipes to cook with honey as well, but then you miss out on all of those great enzymes. So there are a lot of desserts that are not cooked, so some certain types of puddings. There are certain, maybe if you were going to sweeten whipped cream, which is where we're going to head here in a minute, those can all be sweetened with honey. Okay, my next sweetener here, I'm holding in my hand some Trader Joe's organic maple syrup, grade B. And, this is such a great sweetener, and it doesn't have a whole lot of impact on your blood sugar either. So a lot of these sweeteners, you still don't want to use them if you're a diabetic, but if you have pretty regular blood sugar and you're trying to not wear out your system so that you don't have diabetes someday, this is a nice product to use. And it's easy to sweeten things like smoothies, or it's good to cook with. Your basic ho-hum maple syrup is usually processed with formaldehyde, so you're better to push into the organic world there, and it's still less expensive over at Orchard Nutrition, over in the bulk bins. And so keep that in mind. And then we come to stevia. And stevia is it's an herb from South America. It's sickeningly sweet, which means you just need the tiniest little bit. And it's a nice way to sweeten any kind of tea or coffee or maybe even a hot chocolate. Lots of things you can make that would be a substitute for sugar. And so if you haven't tried it, I would say definitely try it. It really works for some people. Other people don't like it at all. It's very difficult to cook with. You can also sweeten maybe things like smoothies again, or cold things that are cold and sweet. So keep that in mind. It really is one of my favorite sweeteners. And then from here, as we get into our last few minutes, I want to talk about probably what you're going to put on that pumpkin pie. And it's going to be white, and it's going to be kind of whipped and cold. And we're at a crossroads here, because it can be natural, and it can be you can make whipped cream. straight from the cow, or you can choose Cool Whip. And so right now I bet you're, you know, maybe even you have plans today to go over to the market and make a decision as to what kind of topping you're going to put on your dessert. And I'm going to encourage you to choose whipped cream, and we're going to teach you how to whip it in just a second. So there are some sounds happening in the studio here that, if you don't know what that is a electric hand mixer, and that's our producer, Jim. And, you know, I just want you to get used to the sounds of whipping cream. And if you don't have, if you don't own that piece of equipment, you're in dire straits. So put that on your list. They're in 1985, that was about $15. So it's probably, what, still $15, Jim?
Pretty much. The one thing I like about it is Hamilton Beach, it says, has a sticker on it, says Made in USA, by America.
Okay, well, that is definitely very old. And so, but you need to have that type of a mixer. And if you don't have that, then start there or put that at the top of your list. And so I'm going to teach you how to make that type of real whipped cream in a second. But I want to tell you what to not get, okay? So if you can skip the Cool Whip, I will be so proud of you. And so Cool Whip is basically just a whole bunch of chemicals. It's made of hydrogenated vegetable oil. We know that'll kill you. It's made from high fructose corn syrup, second on the list of deadly chemicals. It's made of corn syrup, a little bit of skim milk, tiny bit of cream, and then it has natural and artificial flavor. And then it goes into a list of chemical preservatives. We don't want that thing breaking down on us. We want to keep it all puffed up there and fake. So if you can skip this rather bizarre, can't believe it's even, you know, we even think of it as a food, if you can skip that chemical concoction, you've done a great thing for yourself. And so let's see here. So we know that Cool Whip is a funny thing, and, you know, it's mostly air. In fact, you know, some magazine wrote an article that said you're paying 41 cents an ounce for mostly water and air. That's twice the cost of homemade whipped cream. And so, you know, we're gonna teach you now how to get all excited about homemade whipped cream. Okay, you're ready, because it's got a huge list of ingredients. Not. And so first thing you're gonna need for homemade whipped cream is you're gonna need about 2 cups of good quality cream. Now, if you're super, you know, over the top like some of us, you're going to want a little bit of raw cream that you get at Orchard, and you spend way too much money on it, and it'll be decadent, okay? Otherwise, just choose raw, just choose a good quality heavy cream from the market, you know. So it's still a fabulous step in the right direction. And then you're gonna beat the cream using our, okay, here's our sound again. You're beating the cream in a glass bowl, okay, with an electric beater. And when it starts to, if you've never done this, the reason I'm taking you through this is that the people who know how to do this now, there are just very few people who know how to whip cream, which is why we're talking about it. All right, so you're whipping this cream, and it just starts out looking like liquid. I mean, it just looks like you're beating milk, and then pretty soon it starts to thicken. And pretty soon, probably a minute later, it starts to make these soft folds. And so then you can sort of touch it, and it makes a little peak thing. And so it's getting thicker and thicker. If you go too far, you made butter. It starts to all kind of then do this thing that doesn't look like whipped cream anymore. I don't even know what that's called. I'm sure it has a name. But so now you've turned this thing perfectly into this whipped cream. When you taste it, it doesn't really taste like anything, because we haven't added a little bit of sugar to it, and we haven't added a little bit of vanilla. So we're just going to add 2 things to it. So we're going to add a teaspoon of vanilla extract, the real stuff, and we're going to add a pinch of stevia, or we're going to add a little bit of honey, or maybe a little bit of maple syrup, and you're going to sweeten it up, mix it up, and put that on that pie. Yes, I know you can do it. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt. Thank you for listening today, and I can't wait to hear how it went. Have a great day.